The next section of Kevin Coogan's article here goes on to describe some of the prominent American members of the Knights of Malta. Included in the SMOM from this country are current CIA Director William Casey, former CIA Director John McCone, head of the CIA at the time of President Kennedy's assassination, both William and James Buckley, and some other people that we're going to talk about in just a minute. Coogan writes in Parapolitics and his article, The Men Behind the New Counter-Reformation, as follows. Today, the resurgence of SMOM is best symbolized by the fact that SMOM member William Casey is the current head of the CIA. Casey will be one of the figures who will give the Donovan Award, trophy of the OSS Old Boys, to John McCone, devout Catholic SMOM member and former head of the CIA. To interject here, McCone has also eventually went on to work for Bechtel Corporation, like another former CIA head, Richard Helms. Bechtel currently holds sway to a considerable extent in the Reagan administration. Continuing here with Coogan's text. It was McCone, in his position as one of the heads of ITT, who played a leading role in coordinating the destabilization of the Allende government in Chile. Other leading members of American SMOM are William and James Buckley. Next, I'm going to skip down Coogan's text here a little bit and read you a fascinating piece of information about the Knights of Malta, namely the fact that 40 different countries consider the Knights of Malta to be members of a separate state. The next section of Coogan's text is going to go on to describe the role of right-wing Catholics, not necessarily members of the Knights of Malta, but right-wing Catholics within the Reagan administration, namely former National Security Advisor Richard Allen, present National Security Advisor William Clark, and also a man named Vernon Walters, former Deputy Director of the CIA and one of the key figures currently executing, and I use that term advisedly, the Reagan administration's Central American policy. Of the recognition by more than 40 countries of the Knights of Malta's sort of political autonomy, that is to say, the fact that 40 different countries recognize the Knights of Malta as a separate state, Coogan writes as follows. There are over 1,000 knights in the U.S. alone. There are many thousands more in Europe and Latin America. About 40 countries acknowledge that the knights are a sovereign state, and the knights have their own special passport which these countries accept. Strictly speaking, the current head of the CIA is, in the laws of about 40 nations, a member of a whole different state as well as an American citizen. I'd keep that in mind during the course of not only this broadcast but all the others about the Knights of Malta and related elements. Continuing here with Coogan's text. With the replacement of the right-wing Catholic Richard Allen by the equally right-wing Catholic William Clark as President Reagan's National Security Council advisor, the influence of SMOM has increased. Allen's failure was chiefly due to his incompetence in manipulating Ronald Reagan, a skill that Clark developed over his long years of service with Reagan. With his new post, Clark has brought along William F. Buckley as one of his political consultants. Remember now, William F. Buckley is a member of Knights of Malta. Another devout Catholic, General Vernon Walters, the brains behind the 1964 coup against the Goulart government in Brazil and one of the dirtiest figures in the American intelligence community, has become the key man for both Alexander Haig and William Clark in dealing with Central America. At the same time, James Buckley is being elevated to an even higher post in the State Department as he replaces Robert McFarlane, a close Haig aide who has been redeployed to become a member of Clark's NSC staff. Given the fact that Alexander Haig, whose brother is a Jesuit priest, himself has the closest ties to the right-wing Catholic-run Georgetown Center for Strategic and International Studies, or CSIS, it is safe to say that Reagan will be under total control of this group should they decide to go eyeball to eyeball with the Soviet Union in some new Cuban Missile Crisis situation. Next, I'd like to interrupt Coogan's text here to present some more information about former Secretary of State Alexander Haig. Very recently, Alexander Haig himself has been inducted into the Knights of Malta. And the next section of Coogan's text here that I'm going to present will document the willingness of various members of the Knights of Malta, particularly these people within the Reagan administration, to, as he puts it, go eyeball to eyeball with the Soviet Union. That is to say, the willingness on the part of the Knights of Malta to play political and nuclear brinksmanship here. And Coogan ascribed that to the willingness of the Knights of Malta to sort of go on a holy crusade. Apparently this is one of the main ideological bents of this organization dating to its origins. The information concerning the induction of Alexander Haig into the Knights of Malta comes from an article in the New York Daily News. That article was run on January 19th, 1983, and characteristically, the news headlined that article, "What a Knight." That's W-O-T-T-A. And I'm not going to read the article to you, but the research credit for this, by the way, belongs to May Brussel, the grande dame of American anti-fascist researchers. Worth noting that at this ceremony, presided over by Cardinal Cook, who dubbed Haig Knight, the head of the American Knights of Malta, J. Peter Grace, about whom we're going to talk considerably in the future, basically he lambasted the nuclear freeze. And Cardinal Cook's a name to keep in mind, too, because we're going to talk about Cardinal Cook later in the broadcast. Okay, so New York Daily News, January 19th, 1983, mentions that Alexander Haig is now a member of the Knights of Malta. Going back to the Parapolitics article by Kevin Coogan, Coogan writes as follows, that people in an organization like the Knights of Malta could be seriously prepared to run such brinksmanship games should not be doubted. As part of the belief structure of the Knights of Malta, the notion of a holy crusade for Catholic order is central. Men like William Buckley consider it the highest honor to be allowed to dress up in special black capes with white Maltese crosses and swords as they swear their lives to the defense of the Holy Mother Church. In his book Real Lace, Stephen Birmingham captured some of the aura associated with the Knights. The Knights of Malta comprise what is perhaps the most exclusive club on earth. They are more than the Catholic aristocracy. They are the nobility, the royalty. While the Knights of Columbus are associated with lodge meetings and binges, the Knights of Malta can pick up a telephone and chat with the Pope. The next, the next section of the Knights of Malta article here by Kevin Coogan deals with the induction into an awarding of, basically, the induction of Reinhard Galen into the Knights of Malta. Also refers to the fact that Reinhard Galen received the highest award from the Knights of Malta, their highest decoration. Now, for those of you who may be new to Hard Rain, Reinhard Galen was Hitler's chief of intelligence for the Eastern Front during World War II. His organization, Hitler's Eastern Front Intelligence Organization, was called Fremde Heere Ost, or Foreign Armies East. 3 months after the war ends in Europe, 3 months after VE Day, Galen is flown into the United States in the uniform of a four-star general, and his entire organization is then grafted onto the fledgling CIA and becomes its Department of Russian and Eastern European Affairs. It provides the U.S. with all of its intelligence on Russia and Eastern Europe for more than a decade after the war. Eventually, it also goes on to become the official NATO intelligence organization, and following that, it became the West German CIA, the Bundesnachrichtendienst, which it is to this day. So the Galen organization, four incarnations. First is Hitler's Eastern Front Intelligence Organization, then as the CIA's Department of Russian and Eastern European Affairs. Overlapping incarnation two, it becomes the official NATO intelligence organization, providing NATO with as much as 70% of their intelligence, and eventually the Galen organization becomes the BND, the Bundesnachrichtendienst, the West German CIA. Keep all of this in mind as you listen to the following passage concerning the induction of Reinhard Galen into the Knights of Malta and his attendant decoration. Also in this section is going to be Kevin Coogan, I should say, is going to go on to discuss the induction into the Knights and the reception and also the decoration of a man named James Angleton. James Jesus Angleton was for many years, the CIA's chief of counterintelligence. He also, with Galen, became a member of the Knights of Malta in the immediate post-war period. Of the influence of the Knights of Malta in launching the Cold War and Galen's induction into this organization, Coogan writes as follows. The crusading nature of the Knights led them to virtually launch both the Cold War, the McCarthy witch hunt, and the last great crusade known as the Vietnam War. In preparation for the Cold War, the SMOM gave on November 17, 1948, its Gran Croce al Merito con Placcia to none other than Reinhard Galen, a former head of Nazi intelligence and one of the linchpins of the Dulles CIA drive against the Soviet Union. To grasp the full impact of the award, it must also be realized that only three other men had gotten a Gran Croce besides Galen. I would interrupt that that makes four people in the roughly 1,000-year history of the organization, four people including Galen. Continuing here, for the record, Galen's brother was the secretary to the then head of state of SMOM, Count Thun Hohenstein, last name H-O-H-E-N-S-T-E-I-N. Now, in a footnote to the passage I just read you there, Galen notes that the information concerning Galen's induction into the Knights of Malta and his decoration by that organization, as well as Angleton's induction into that is the induction of James Angleton we're going to read about, comes from the official general role of the Grand Magistry of the Sovereign Military Order of the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem and Malta, 1949. The reference is there, 329 for Galen, 338 for Angleton. More importantly, as Coogan goes on to note here, the brother of Reinhard Galen, who was secretary to this man Hohenstein, then head of state for SMOM, basically, Galen's brother may very well have been a member of the Galen espionage machine. This is by no means conclusive, but there is a hint at that from the other information presented here in Coogan's footnote. Coogan writes, Galen's brother is sometimes mentioned in biographies of Galen as having the codename Don Giovanni and being based in Rome. So keep in mind, Galen's brother was definitely Count Thun Hohenstein's secretary, and he may very well have been, while serving in that capacity, one of Galen's intelligence operatives. Keep all that information in mind. About James Angleton and his induction into SMOM, Coogan writes as follows. Even more amazing, given his history, is the fact that on December 27th, 1946, SMOM awarded the Croce al Merito di Seconda Classe to James Angleton. Angleton later went on to recommend CIA funding for Luigi Jetta's Catholic action, and for many years, Angleton headed up the CIA's Vatican desk. Okay, so Luigi Jetta, the fellow whose thoughts we read at the very beginning of this broadcast, his organization, Catholic Action, has been funded by the CIA. So, again, his thoughts shouldn't appear nearly as funny as they may have at the outset of the broadcast. Basically, if you find that information amusing, keep in mind those are your tax dollars at work, okay? Jetta's organization, Catholic Action, funded by CIA. Worth noting here also that James Angleton was not only the head of the CIA's Vatican desk, but also, as noted in a subsequent Coogan footnote, head of the CIA's Israel desk as well. Make of that what you will. Worth noting also that James Angleton, while with the OSS, was responsible for the rescue of Prince Giusto Valerio Borghese from Italian partisans. Borghese, an individual we've talked about a lot in the past, we're going to talk about some more in the future, connected with the not only Sindona, but also with many of the right-wing activities in Italy that are featured so prominently in this ongoing series about the shooting of the Pope. The next section of the Coogan article here deals with the profound influence wielded by not only the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, but also the Georgetown, what he calls the Georgetown Axis, upon Senator Joe McCarthy, one of the main figures of the Cold War and the communist witch hunts in this country. And the article here also, the Coogan article here also goes on to note the fact that McCarthy associate, or McCarthy aide, I really should say, Roy Cohn, was a member of a law firm whose senior partner, Tom Bowen, is also a member of the Knights of Malta. All this information we're going to note here. Continuing with Coogan's text, it was the SMOM Georgetown Axis which also launched Joe McCarthy's career. McCarthy was directly briefed by men like Father Walsh of Georgetown University, who, with the help of the FBI, fed McCarthy his story of communists in the State Department. It is not just a case of deja vu when the group is Georgetown CSIS, and it goes after such politically pathetic groups as the Institute for Policy Studies for their KGB connections. It is particularly appropriate, then, that one of the leading figures of SMOM today should be Tom Bolin of Sachs, Bacon & Bolin, the law firm of McCarthy aide Roy Cohn. Tom Bolin's importance in Catholic affairs was underlined when President Reagan appointed Bolin as the U.S. representative to meet the Pope when the Pope stopped off in Alaska after his visit to the Philippines. Bolin, a top advisor to U.S. Senator Al D'Amato, is also leader of the East Side Conservative Club in New York. I'd note the association between McCarthy and Cohn, between Cohn and Bolin, and between Bolin and the SMOM. Also note the relationship between SMOM member Bolin and Senator D'Amato of New York. Senator D'Amato has been very, very vocal in attempting to highlight the alleged and so far unproven link between the Bulgarians and the KGB and the shooting of the Pope. Interesting to note also the influence of Father Walsh on Senator Joe McCarthy. Now, in a footnote about Father Walsh here, Coogan adds that Father Walsh was a fanatic anti-communist and a leading American promoter of geopolitics. After World War II, Walsh went to Germany to debrief his old friend, Major General Karl Haushofer, the world's best-known geopolitician. And I would add here, Karl Haushofer was also the sort of father of German geopolitics, the German Weltanschauung that lay behind Adolf Hitler. Karl Haushofer, also a key member of the German general staff. Okay, back to Coogan's text, back to Tom Bolin, senior member in the law firm of Sachs, Bacon, and Bolin, Roy Cohn's law firm. Apparently, the Sachs, Bacon, and Bolin law firm also handles the legal work for the Archdiocese of New York and the aforementioned Cardinal Cook, who, according to Coogan, has succeeded Cardinal Spellman as sort of the spiritual head of American SMOM. Of the relationship between Sachs, Bacon, and Bolin and the Archdiocese of New York, Coogan writes as follows. Sachs, Bacon, and Bolin is also the major law firm for the Archdiocese of New York and its leader, Cardinal Cook. Cardinal Cook is the direct successor to Cardinal Spellman, who for years was the spiritual center of the Knights of Malta. Not surprisingly, Cardinal Cook has come out recently in opposition to any attempt to limit the spread of nuclear weapons. Today, Cardinal Cook is filling Cardinal Spellman's role as grand protector and spiritual advisor, unquote, to the American wing of SMOM. Next, Coogan goes on to describe Cardinal Spellman's role in reactionary American politics. Coogan ascribes to Spellman much of the responsibility for America's involvement in Vietnam, also states that without Cardinal Spellman's influence, President Diem would not have come to power in South Vietnam. And next, Coogan goes on to describe the peak, I should say, the irritation felt by SMOM towards President Kennedy. Now, although President Kennedy was a Catholic, unlike his father, Joseph Kennedy, he was not a member of the Knights of Malta and generally put a lot of distance between himself and the Catholic Rite. Worth noting that Joseph P. Kennedy was the pro-Hitler U.S. ambassador to England during the Roosevelt administration, replaced because of his pro-Hitler sentiments. Apparently, Joe Kennedy was very close to the so-called Clevedon set, a group of powerful British industrialists and aristocrats who preferred the rise of Hitler to any other political events in Europe. Joseph P. Kennedy very close to those people. And Joe Kennedy's kids, however, as pointed out in this passage by Coogan, that is to say John, Robert, and Ted, put a lot of distance between themselves and the Catholic Rite, none of them members of the Knights of Malta. Coogan's text reads as follows. Diem's death and the apparent complicity of President John F. Kennedy in the downfall of Diem to this day still upsets one member of the order, Cyril Tumanov, a white Russian based in Rome who is the official historian of the order. Tumanov, by the way, T-O-U-M-A-N-O-F-F. As Tumanov explained to one of this author's sources, Kennedy felt very uncomfortable with his Catholic connections and was indeed a little ashamed by them. So Kennedy sometimes went out of his way to show his independence from his Catholic roots. Such an attitude by Kennedy, in Tumanov's view, was, quote, a mistake, unquote. It is worth noting that although Joseph P. Kennedy was a leading member of SMOM, neither John, Bobby, or Teddy are members. That essentially winds up the information on this first program about the Knights of Malta. That concludes the political, military, and intelligence members of this organization, at least American members. And next week, we're going to talk about some of the dominant American financiers who are also members of the Knights of Malta. Following that, we're going to follow some of the Knights of Malta tendrils throughout various aspects of the shooting of the Pope. Because certainly, an organization with as many cloaks and daggers in its cloakroom as the SMOM certainly should not be omitted in any discussion of the events surrounding the shooting of the Pope. Okay, so we're going to talk about that in future weeks. Very briefly before we...
There we go. And indeed, we are going to be listening to the next tape, which was a future week, in just a moment. So there, what you have there is at least an introduction into the rather bizarre organization, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. And when we're talking about these kinds of organizations, it's very important to realize that we are not talking in the sense that occasionally you see people talking about something like the Trilateral Commission, that this is some organization that meets in a secret room somewhere and plots the destiny of the entire world. But what we are talking about is a group of people who have some very common goals and that use, if nothing else, their connections through their high status in relation to the Catholic Church to prosecute these goals. When you talk about people like William F. Buckley, William Casey, and some of the others involved with the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, and of course, the Knights of Malta awardee, Reinhard Gehlen, we're talking about people with a profoundly right-wing, anti-communist viewpoint. And in fact, as we have seen, the entire assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II seems to spring from this same milieu, from this profoundly anti-communist, pro-fascist viewpoint. And the people that therein involved, Now, as we have talked about in the past, we've spent four broadcasts basically detailing to a large extent the Italian and other European connections to these networks and beginning to tie these networks together. What we're doing now is we're beginning to open up some insight into the Western angle. And the first thing, the most important thing, was to realize that Western intelligence appears to have been involved with the principles, especially the Turkish principles, all along, and that the folks in the Sovereign Military Order of Malta have been involved in the Catholic Church end of things all along also, and not only involved, but themselves, most of them have expressly and often expressed right-wing viewpoints. So we are not, again, merely talking about a group of people who are just a high-ranking and important American Catholics, but we're talking about people who are direct movers and shakers in the right-wing political milieu.
And specifically now, note the connections between the Reagan administration and the Knights of Malta, and specifically the U.S. intelligence services, in particular William Casey, William and James Buckley, William Buckley the columnist, James, also a former CIA man, and James Buckley, head of Radio Liberty during much of the Reagan administration. In the next broadcast, we're going to be taking a look at J. Peter Grace, also a key Reagan appointee. But the connections between the Reagan administration and between the CIA in particular, front and center here.
Oh, and another important person to remember is Alexander Haig, of course, because Haig is prominently featured, and one of Haig's assistants is the man who not only before Reagan came in helped to bring Reagan into office by his work with the Italian P2 and with certain Libyan elements to promote the story about Billy Carter being linked to Gaddafi, Michael Ledeen. Michael Ledeen then later on, of course, involved with Alexander Haig and the Reagan administration, and then became one of the chief promulgators of the Bulgarian thesis. So Ledeen and his connections to Haig also very important. Okay, we're going to go on now, and we're going to listen to the second part of these broadcasts that were originally aired by Dave in February of 1983. So we're going to be listening to, again, Hard Rain, February of 83, and broadcasting from Foothill College. This is KFJC Los Altos Hills, and you're listening to the Mediterranean Merry-Go-Round.
I'll be your host for the next half hour or so, and basically, during the course of this broadcast, we're going to be talking once again about the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, the SMOM, or the Knights of Malta, as the organization is popularly known. The Knights of Malta is an organization that was formed during the Crusades, and it is the military wing of the Catholic Church, and it involves, last week, as we noted, the organization involves many key figures from the American military, political, and intelligence community, and we're going to talk some more about SMOM, or the Knights of Malta's connections today, specifically some key financiers and, once again, political and intelligence figures within the administration of Ronald Reagan and, in general, wielding a great deal of influence within the sphere of American power politics. Now, the article we're going to be reading all this information, virtually all of the information on today's broadcast from, is once again an article called The Men Behind the New Counter-Reformation. And basically this article, The Men Behind the New Counter-Reformation, was written by a man named Kevin Coogan, a very fine researcher from the East Coast. His last name is Coogan. And Kevin Coogan's The Men Behind the New Counter-Reformation was published in Parapolitics No. 6, which came out last spring. Parapolitics No. 6 is a newsletter put out by Jonathan Marshall and essentially designed for investigative reporters and researchers. Parapolitics, Jonathan Marshall, rather, is the former editor of Inquiry magazine, currently writing editorials for the San Jose Mercury. And he is, as I said, the editor-in-chief of Parapolitics, which printed this article by Kevin Coogan. Now, the first of the things that we're going to be looking at in this broadcast is some of the key industrialists who are involved in the Knights of Malta. We're going to look very briefly at a list of some of the key figures within the industrial sector, I guess one might say, of Knights of Malta, those figures being Robert A. Appelnaup, the aerosol spray king, a personal friend and close financial backer of Richard Nixon. Baron Hilton is also a member of this organization, as is Chrysler president Lee Iacocca. Also John Volpe, former U.S. Senator, former Secretary of Transportation, among other things. John Volpe, also a member of the Knights of Malta. In the first section of the article, the first section of the broadcast, we're also going to begin a lengthy discussion of J. Peter Grace. And J. Peter Grace is the president of W.R. Grace & Company, and the Grace financial empire has long figured in the ranks of political reaction, in the United States. And J. Peter Grace is a very, very big man in the Reagan administration, a very big man in the United States, and his company, W.R. Grace & Company, is very, very heavily influenced by the Knights of Malta. J. Peter Grace himself, we're going to look at some of his background. We're going to take a look at his membership on the board of directors of Kennecott Copper. We're also going to take a look at his role in affecting the policy of Radio Liberty and Radio Free Europe. J. Peter Grace is also involved with the American Institute for Free Labor Development, which is a documented CIA front. We're going to take a look at J. Peter Grace's employment of some of the Nazi technocrats and engineers involved in Project Paperclip or Operation Paperclip. That was a program whereby key Nazi operatives, key people from the Nazi defense industries were brought over to the United States and put to work basically in the United States defense industry. We're going to take a look at some of the key members. Well, we'll take a look at rather an interlocking directorate or a section of an interlocking directorate between W.R. Grace and Company and Citicorp, the parent corporation for Citibank in New York City. A number of different people hold memberships on the board of directors of both organizations, including a fellow by the name of Roger Milliken, who is a close ally of Strom Thurmond of South Carolina. We're going to take a look at the association between W.R. Grace and Company, the main element in the Grace financial empire, and the Fleet Cartel of Germany. The Fleet Cartel was very much involved with German steel production, as one of Adolf Hitler's dominant principal financial backers, but was one of the dominant elements in Hitler's war production. We're going to take a look at a charge in the Soviet press, which apparently was based on information revealed by West German investigative reporters. We're going to take a look at a Soviet charge that the Fleet Group also helped fund the National Party of Germany, a neo-Nazi sect which was linked in an article in Eagle magazine to Mehmet Ali Agha and the attempt on the Pope. We're going to take a look at a section of that Eagle magazine article, not only dealing with NPD, but in turn linking NPD to Permandex, one really couldn't call it a CIA front, a Western intelligence front, very much involved in the assassination of President Kennedy. We're also going to take a look at J. Peter Grace's appointment to a businessman's council to reduce the costs of government. This is a relatively recent appointment made by Ronald Reagan. We're going to take a look at J. Peter in more detail at J. Peter Grace's numerous intelligence connections. One of the vice president of W.R. Grace and Company, by the way, long-standing affiliate of the IG Farben cartel in Germany. One of the vice presidents of W.R. Grace and Company is a fellow named Antonio Navarro, a Cuban exile closely affiliated with the U.S. intelligence community. Also, a fellow named Francis Flanagan holds a lot of weight around W.R. Grace, and Francis Flanagan was a member of the ad hoc committee on Chile put together by ITT during the Allende reign down there. Of course, Allende was deposed in a very bloody right-wing coup, largely influenced by the United States. In addition, we're going to take a look at W.R. Grace and Company's funding of the American Council for the International Promotion of Democracy Under God, which apparently has been linked to the Pro-Deo movement, a right-wing movement or organization within the Catholic Church. That, according to some Italian journalists, is very closely, the Pro-Deo movement, that is closely affiliated with the Mafia as well. And the last thing we're going to look at in the broadcast today is going to concern a review of some information that we presented in the first part of this sort of sub-series we're doing on the Knights of Malta, a sub-series really about the ongoing series of the shooting of the Pope. We're going to take a look at information that the Knights of Malta are recognized as members of a separate state on more than 40 different countries. We're also going to take a look at Very briefly, some ties between the Propaganda Due scandal, figuring so prominently in the tangle of malfeasance currently oozing out of the Vatican. We're going to look at ties between the P2 Lodge, or the Propaganda Due Lodge, and the Knights of Malta. Now, as I mentioned at the top of the broadcast just a couple of minutes ago, the first thing we're going to be looking at in connection with the Knights of Malta concerns a list of prominent industrialists who figure in this organization, including Robert Appelnaut, Baron Hilton, Lee Iacocca, John Volpe, and others. And the key man in the industrial wing of Knights of Malta is the aforementioned J. Peter Grace, president of W.R. Grace and Company. Beginning here, once again, this article is called The Men Behind the New Counter-Reformation, authored by Kevin Coogan. It appeared in Parapolitics, issue number 6, which came out in the spring of 1982. In this section, the article is called The Financial Power of the Knights, One Case History. An accurate estimate of the financial power wielded by the Knights of Malta in the United States has not yet been made. Yet it is immense. Some of SMOM's members who are somewhat known to the public include Robert A. Appelnaut, Peter M. Flanagan, Baron Hilton, Lee Iacocca, James J. Ling, John A. McCone, Spiros Skouras, and John A. Volpe. But if there is one corporation which is at the financial center of the Knights of Malta, it is W.R. Grace and Company. J. Peter Grace, the head of the company, is also the president of the U.S. section of SMOM. 8 members of SMOM, including the order's chancellor, John D.J. Moore, former U.S. ambassador to Ireland, are members of W.R. Grace's board of directors. One member, Felix Larkin, the chairman of W.R. Grace, was the general counsel to the Department of Defense from 1949 through 51 and received the DOD's highest award in 1951, the year he entered W.R. Grace. Interrupting Coogan's text here very briefly, concerning the aforementioned John D.J. Moore, U.S. ambassador to Ireland, the footnotes here to Kevin Coogan's article reveal an interesting piece of information concerning this man, the former U.S. ambassador to Ireland, John D.J. Moore. Coogan writes, "It is odd that the former U.S. ambassador to Ireland, John D.J. Moore, is number 2 man in U.S. SMOM as well as the director of W.R. Grace." He mentions this pursuant to an interesting fact that a fellow named the Earl of Donamore, his son, was basically, well, the Earl of Donamore married Michael Grace, who was a member of this family. And the interesting thing is that the current Earl of Donamore, who's the head of Irish Freemasonry, was kidnapped by the IRA in the early 1970s and was then mysteriously freed. Now, Coogan finds this very mysterious because, why would the IRA have freed somebody they were presumably holding for ransom? And, of course, pursuant to the Turple and Wilson investigation, alleged ties between the CIA and the IRA have come out. Certainly by no means conclusive, but in light of the clout carried by the Earl of Donamore's family here with the IRA, in light of the clout SMOM, in light of the clout that the Donamores have with SMOM, it's interesting to speculate about possible intelligence ties between the freeing of the Earl of Donamore and SMOM, which in turn, of course, is very closely affiliated with U.S. intelligence. Continuing here with Coogan's narrative, basically, the next section of the article I'm going to go on to read here concerns some of the credentials, some of the pedigree of J. Peter Grace. J. Peter Grace is, among other things, a member of the board of directors of Kennecott Copper. He also sits on the board of directors of both Radio Liberty and Radio Free Europe, as well as the American Institute for Free Labor Development. Of course, Radio Liberty, Radio Free Europe is very closely affiliated with the CIA and the Cold War, and is currently headed by James Buckley, a member of the Knights of Malta, along with J. Peter Grace and James' brother, William Buckley. Worth noting that the AIFLD, the American Institute for Free Labor Development, is a documented CIA front. Documentation on that can be found among other sources in Philip Agee's Inside the Company, a CIA Diary. A lot of other documentation on AIFLD is available as well. Interestingly enough, the J. Peter Grace has also brought a number of different Nazi engineers and what Coogan refers to as technocrats into his organization, W.R. Grace and Company. We're going to talk about that at considerable length in broadcasts to come. Specifically, J. Peter Grace's association with Otto Ambrose, one of the key members of the board of directors of I.G. Farben, a key I.G. Farben engineer, and the fellow who was instrumental in setting up the Auschwitz concentration camp, among other concentration camps. He also worked on a camp called Monowitz. More about that next week. In the section I'm going to read, too, Coogan documents connections between J. Peter Grace and his company, W.R. Grace & Company, and Citicorp, the parent corporation of Citibank. Apparently there is, to a considerable extent, an interlocking directorate, between W.R. Grace and Citicorp. There are a total of 4 directors, including J. Peter Grace, who sit on the board of directors of Citicorp. One of these fellows is a guy named Roger Milliken. Roger Milliken is from South Carolina, closely affiliated with key right-wing political figures Strom Thurmond from South Carolina. Apparently, Roger Milliken is also affiliated with a guy named Larry McDonald, who is one of the luminaries in the New Right and apparently runs a private intelligence organization, an organization responsible only unto Larry McDonald. Of J. Peter Grace and some of his many intelligence connections and connections with the far right, Coogan writes as follows. J. Peter Grace, however, is right at the center of SMOM/CIA. A director both of Kennecott Copper and one of the heads of both Radio Liberty, Radio Free Europe, and the AIFLD, J. Peter Grace is at the heart of right-wing CIA input into both Poland and El Salvador. J. Peter Grace, according to top Nazi hunter Charles Allen, has also used his firm to place ex-Nazi technocrats who were brought to the United States via Operation Paperclip. Once again, remember that because we're going to talk about that next week. Continuing here with Coogan's text. In financial circles, W.R. Grace maintains close ties with Citibank, and J. Peter Grace is one of Citicorp's directors.
Three other Citicorp directors are also on the board of W.R. Grace, including Roger Milliken from South Carolina. Milliken, a financial angel for Strom Thurmond, is now on the board of Larry McDonald's Western Goals Foundation, which is his own private intelligence organization. Next section of the article, Krugman's article here, documents connections between between W.R. Grace and Company and the notorious Fleek Steel Group of Germany. Fleek, a steel manufacturing cartel in Germany, has been closely affiliated with reactionary elements in Germany for a long time. Fleek was not only one of the key organizations in funding the rise of Adolf Hitler, the Fleek Group represented one of the linchpins of Nazi war-making potential. In addition, we are going to look at some charges made in the Soviet press based on apparently information revealed by West German press, which charges W.R. Fleek, which charges the Fleek Group, I should say, with the funding of the NPD, a neo-Nazi group in Germany today. We're also going to take a look at the 31% capital participation by the Fleet Group in W.R. Grace. And we're going to review some information, too, from an Eagle magazine article, Eagle being a sort of a mercenary trade publication similar to Soldier of Fortune. This Eagle magazine article links the NPD with Mehmet Ali Aja, convicted would-be assassin of Pope John Paul II. So we're going to take a look at that. Of the relationship between W.R. Grace and the Fleet cartel in Germany, Coogan writes as follows. Most sinister of all, however, is W.R. Grace's close relationship with the notorious Fleek Steel Group in Germany. The Fleek connection dates back at least to the early 1950s. According to the August 20th, 1981 International Herald Tribune, the Fleek Group, which is still controlled by the family, has paid $365 million for a 31% interest in W.R. Grace. Fleek was one of the leading cartels in Nazi Germany. The head of the firm got a short sentence during the Nuremberg trials, and promptly went back into business with the family still in control of the firm. In the 1950s, Freddy Fleek was sent to W.R. Grace in New York to study business, unquote. Today, the Fleeks are back in business funding Nazis. According to the Soviet publication New Times, January 4, 1981, the Fleek and Messerschmitt interests, along with Deutsche Shell, were exposed by the West German press for their funding of the neo-fascist National Democratic Party. Interrupting Coogan's narrative here for a second. Ordinarily, I would not present information from the Soviet press here on this broadcast. Not that the Soviet press is necessarily wrong all the time, as certain interests in this country would have you believe, but certainly the Soviet government is an advocate, and as such, can be expected to tout its own cause. So anything that is offered forth by the Soviet government or any other advocate group is to be taken with a generous dose of salt. One of the things that I think warrants this piece of information's inclusion in this article, in this broadcast, I should say, is the fact that the Soviet New Times article was, according to Coogan, based on reports in the West German press. It would seem to me that this information should be relatively verifiable, and so I'm offering it forth here. Again, not as anything definitely conclusive, but as information to be stored away for further use, and as I say so often, food for thought, grounds for further research. Now, keep in mind, for the time being, the alleged ties between the Fleet Group and the NPD, because we've seen the NPD before on this broadcast in connection with the shooting of the Pope. Now, I'm going to read a short section from an article from Eagle Magazine. Eagle Magazine, as mentioned a minute ago, is a mercenary trade publication similar in scope to Soldier of Fortune. This article is from Eagle Magazine of June of 1982. I'm just going to read a section of it. And the section I'm going to read links the aforementioned NPD with Mehmet Ali Aja and his attempt on the life of the Pope. Furthermore, the article goes on to link the NPD with an organization called Permandex. Although Permandex is here referred to as an independent assassination bureau, Permandex, as we've seen before on Hard Rain, is a Western intelligence organization which has also received a lot of funding from private industry. And that organization, in addition to being involved in the assassination of President Kennedy, has a number of different ties with many of the reactionary elements involved in the growing tangle of scandals around the Vatican and the shooting of the Pope. Present in both the propaganda due and the Pope shooting scandal, we find mafia elements, we find Western intelligence elements, key industrialists, and so forth. Many of these same elements present in Permandex, and indeed, we looked at the common association of Permandex director Clay Shaw with a relative of Prince Giusto Valerio Borghese, one of the prime movers of the Italian right at this time. Anyway, keep in mind the Soviet charges based on West German reports, according to Coogan, as yet unverified, but keep in mind those Soviet charges that
there is a link between the Fleet Group, former backers of Hitler, armorers of Hitler, and the NPD. Because Eagle Magazine, a publication which falls on the exact opposite end of the political spectrum from the Soviet publication New Times, links the NPD with Mehmet Ali Aja and in turn with Permandex, one of the key elements involved in the assassination of President Kennedy. Permandex, by the way, one of its corporate fronts was called the Centro Mondiale Commerciale and was based in Rome. We looked at that before on Hard Rain and in connection with the shooting of the Pope. Eagle Magazine from June of 1982 featured an article called Who Shot the Pope? It was authored by a man named John D-E-E. I don't know if that's his real name. Anyway, of the NPD and Mehmet Ali Aja, Eagle writes as follows. John D. writes as follows in Eagle, June 1982. Once inside West Germany, Mehmet Ali Aja was safe housed for nearly 18 months by a neo-Nazi sect called the Nationalist Party of Germany, the NPD. What sort of outfit is the NPD? Intelligence specialists in the U.S. and Europe have confirmed that the NPD has just recently re-emerged after nearly a decade of silence. During its height of activity during the early 1960s, the NPD was a cover employed by the most deadly private assassination bureau of the recent decades. A bureau that was officially named as the unindicted co-conspirator in the aborted assassination of President John F. Kennedy and in nearly 30 aborted assassination attempts against French President Charles de Gaulle. That bureau, which was housed out of a nondescript Montreal-based international trade expositions company, was called Permindex, P-E-R-M-I-N-D-E-X. A review of the Montreal Press of 1967 and of the court transcripts of the simultaneous State of Louisiana versus Clay Shaw case will reveal a detailed documenting of the role of Permindex and its Italian and Swiss subsidiary companies in the JFK and de Gaulle affairs. The NPD hand in ushering Aja into the hands of Gaddafi and on to St. Peter's Square has triggered speculation and concern in European security circles that the Permindex apparatus has been reconstituted. Again, certainly by no means conclusive, but worth keeping in mind in light of the possible relationship between the Fleet Group and the NPD, and in turn between key sovereign military order of Malta person J. Peter Grace and the Fleet Group. Bear in mind that the Fleet Group has a 31% capital participation in W.R. Grace and Company. Continuing here with the section of the Kevin Coogan article dealing with the Fleet-Grace relationship, the Coogan text here goes on to relate the fact that the Fleet Group is currently involved in one of the biggest scandals in recent years in West Germany. Basically, three key members of the German Social Democratic Party have been linked to taking bribes from the Fleet Group, this all going to strengthen the German far right. Coogan writes about this as follows. Currently, the Fleet interests are at the center of the biggest financial scandal in West Germany in years. Three members of the Schmidt government, Economics Minister Otto Lambsdorff, Finance Minister Hans Mathofer and Schmidt Chief of Staff Manfred Lahnstein are being investigated for taking bribes from the Fleet Group. The effect of this scandal is to further weaken the German Social Democrats and strengthen the right-wing opposition, many of whom are also known to have economic ties with the Fleet Group. Next section of Coogan's text here goes on to deal with J. Peter Grace's appointment last spring to a Reagan administration businessman's group to attempt to cut the costs of government. Keep this in mind also, because we're going to talk about this next week as well. Coogan writes here, the influence of J. Peter Grace has continued to rise in the Reagan administration. On March 3rd, President Reagan announced that Grace would head up a special businessman's group to study ways to cut government costs, unquote. The council will have 30 to 40 leading businessmen on it, and already Grace has begun commuting to Washington at least 2 days a week. Grace has long been a fanatic advocate of free enterprise, unquote. According to Maxwell Newton, the financial editor of the New York Post and a big fan of Grace, J. Peter has, quote, a formidable economics group within his company structure that produces a torrent of damning evidence of the destruction being caused in this country by big government.